Everybody won't get that opportunity, but I do, and I'm thankful to God. And in the morning, we've been reminded in Sunday school that we need to surrender all. Surrender my football. Surrender my racing. Surrender my everything. All means all, isn't it? Because he's the one who's the Lord of all. And who's the one? He's the one who's given us our all. Okay? So this morning's message, Brother Milbury asked me, I'm a missionary, okay? I like to wear my gun on my holster. And that means I don't like to be tied down, you know. I don't wear a tie even in India. If you can catch my pictures in India, I don't even have a coat. My dad passed away on July 31st, who's been my mentor, my hero of my faith, and my father, you know, and who's been a missionary on the field. And all he wanted to do and talk about was his Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I learned from him. So I learned a lot from him, and I'm so thankful to God that he was my father. And this morning, Brother Milbury asked me, what's the title of the message? Like yesterday, I did think about a message, two messages, in fact. But then I got up in the morning, and then God gave me another message. Because the Bible is full of messages, you know. And as a missionary, sometimes, you know, on a Sunday, we end up preaching five times. And it exhausts our throat, you know, our everything. But, you know, God gives us the strength. In a country like India, where we don't have air conditioned, you know, edifices like this, we are out there in the hot sun. This year we had a heat wave, you know, and we don't have air conditioned places, and it was almost 120. And I was out there, and I sweat the most than anybody else. But I'm going to let's go into the Word of God. That's where we get to know about God. Man doesn't know about God. That's why he makes, you've seen the video, you know, it's the same old video I showed before, that Indians, you know, they're so smart. They're almost, you know, last week they went to the moon. And a few years before that, there's one of the few countries who have ventured out to go to Mars. And they're smart in mathematics and physics and science and everything else. But you've seen when it comes to the aspect of God, they're duds. Using it in our terminology. I was telling Brother Fox in his class this morning that last year we had a drought in India, you know. No rains at all. So they were praying to their rain gods. And the way they do it in India is they got all the priests together and they took two frogs and got them married. Nobody's laughing yet. You will. So this was a natural thing, you know. Everybody, even the politicians, the educated, the uneducated, everybody gets together and gets these two frogs married. So you know what happened? They had floods. So this week's message from India on WhatsApp was, all these priests got together because they had too much rain, they got them divorced. Now you're laughing. So they got the frogs married and they got the frogs divorced, because so if they get divorced, then the rain stopped, is what they believe. No, we got a God who created everything. Now I want to talk about the God of gifts. Let's go to one verse I want to take, James 1:17. We are here to open our Bibles, isn't it? In the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was, if it wasn't for the Word of God, people cannot know God. Because there's no other way. He's not going to stand in Grand Prairie, you know, any of the intersections and reveal himself. No, he won't. He's already revealed himself through his Word. And that Word became flesh in John 1:14, isn't it? So let's go to James 1:17, and let's try to wrap up this message, because I'm starting off at 12 o'clock, so I don't know when I'm going to finish. First chapter, 17th verse, okay? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. We already heard the word good in the Sunday school and in the singing. Oh, wonderful singing. I enjoyed that, sister. Oh, that was a blessing, you know? But, you know, that's like the icing on the cake, isn't it? But the cake is inside. That's the Word of God. Now, you can't just, you know, be fed on the icing, but you need to eat the cake. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Genesis 1:1 to 2:14, you know, it's a long passage. We're talking about the God of the Bible. He's a God who gives us gifts. He's a God of gifts. Our God is a God of gifts. The God of all creation is a God of gifts. I'm going to try to stick to my little notes here, okay? But I'm a missionary, remember. I always stray, okay? So if I do that, somebody just do this, okay? I'll try my best not to stray because, like I said, I always wear my gun on my holster. And I'm a six-gun lover, you know? All creation is a package, you know, of God's gifts. It's a huge gift. If you read Genesis 1:1 and so on, we all know that. You know, if you're sitting in Sunday school, you'll know. He created light. And that light, the way he created it, you know, it's not a flashy light. The world likes flashy lights. How many of you all remember 70s, you know? They had the disco era. And every place you went, they had these psychedelic lights, you know? And nobody can see each other's faces clearly, you know? In psychedelic lights, you know, you can't see anything properly. But you get psychedelic, you know? You get all shaken up and you want to dance and you want to shake up. But look at this. God, our God is a God of light, you know? He's a consistent light, you know? He's constant. You know, before Thomas Edison, we think that he's the one who discovered electricity, isn't it? There's a discrepancy about that. Canadians think no, somebody in Canada did that and Thomas Edison stole it or something like that, okay? But anyway, I think it's God who created electricity. Have you ever seen the lightning? They say if you can capture lightning into a battery, you know, you can light that entire city on which the lightning is coming. Just one strike of lightning. So who is the producer of, you know, creator of electricity? It's God, isn't it? Because he's the light. John 5th chapter, it says, and as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And the Bible says, you know, God is light. So he created the light. I'm talking about the package, you know, of gifts God has given us. He has given us a big package if you read it in Genesis 1. He's given us the seas. When I was young, I wanted to become an oceanographer, you know. I wanted to dive into the sea and see all the things God has created. Oceanography, it's a wonderful study, you know. But who made that? You know, in this big package, God gives gifts. Unfortunately, people who deny the existence of God, they want to experience all and enjoy all these gifts, what is given, but then deny the very one who created them. But remember, folks, if you want to enjoy all this, you know, first you have to give praise and honor to the one who gave that gift. So the light is given by God, and the seas, you know, the waters. How can anyone live without water? Without water, we'll be dead in just a few hours, you know? And then if it wasn't for the waters, if God didn't create the waters, where would he put the fish in? So he had to put the waters, isn't it? So how many of us like fishing? I love fishing, you know? How many of us like water? I like water. And he created the earth, you know, on which we're living. Psalm 24 says, you know, all things are of God. You know, he created the earth and all the inhabitants thereof. And we see here, God created man. Genesis 1. I'm just giving you a general picture of, you know, what God has made. You know, he created this huge package. How many of us like gifts? Everybody likes gifts, don't we? Everybody likes gifts. If somebody has to say that person is a good person, you'll say that because he gave you something. Isn't it? Or you expect something from him. The word good comes from the word God. God is good. We just heard the singing, isn't it? God is good, even if you don't think so. He's still good. Why? Because God is good, and we see that all over in the Bible. In the First Chronicles 16:34, it says, the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And Second Chronicles 5:13 says, the Lord is good, and for his mercy endureth forever. Ezra 3:11, Psalm 105, we just read that. We just heard the brother reading it. Psalm 106:1, 107:1, Jeremiah 33:11, the Lord is good. God is good. And his mercy endureth forever. And in the Old Testament, we see 1 John, in the first chapter, that God created man in his own image. And before he created man, he created all this package, you know. this huge package of all these things we just mentioned. You can go home and read chapter 1 again. By the way, I want to say this. People who believe God and who grew up in Sunday school, who grow up and go to school and college, university, and they have this big head, PhDs and everything, and, you know, they got such a big head, they can't have balance. You know, they come back and say, oh, I don't believe in God. Why? Because their head became too big to their body, you know. So I'm not against education. I love education. I'm still doing both my PhDs. I still haven't completed them yet. But what I'm trying to say is, people go so far and they come back, they can't believe the very first chapter of the Bible. How pathetic is that, isn't it? They deny the very God who created, who gave all these gifts, you know. If you deny God, don't breathe his precious air, okay? Just stop breathing right there. Then you will see who God is, okay, in a few minutes. Okay, if you don't like God, just don't breathe his air. So God created man. And you know what it says in verse 28? And he blessed them. He is the source of all blessings. This morning, Brother Fox was reminding us about the sin that's happening in the world, you know. Even before Adam and Eve sinned in second chapter, third chapter, we know in Genesis 3. If we go back in 28th verse, you know, he says, God blessed them. You know, let me read that. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. You know, what's people doing today? Birth control. Do you think that is from God? Why do you think all women have, you know, issues that today that's happening, you know? It's not Johnson & Johnson's baby powder that's getting you ovarian cancer. You know, it's because of this. People are violating the very command of God. He said, be fruitful. Then they'll say, but how do we live in this economy, you know? Who made that economy? It's you who's putting 2 + 2 together and thinking that you're the one who's creating that. No, God is the one who created everything. He wouldn't have said, be fruitful and multiply if he didn't have the source to sustain those. But we put our head there, you know. No. I think God is wrong here, you know. We have the newspaper in India, you know, and the English newspaper, and right in the center page, there was a column. One guy, long time ago this was, my dad called me and said, look at this guy, what he's writing. He's writing in that, saying, if I was living at the time of creation, or if I were living, okay, grammatically, if I were living at the time of creation, I would have given God some good ideas. He wrote that. What audacity he has to write that in the Bible, I mean in the newspaper. But God bless him. He says, be fruitful. Now, can you think if the world is in sin or not? Aren't we aborting so many children and millions, you know, they're counting. Isn't that a violation of the commandment of God? Well, we need to think about that, isn't it? But God created man and woman. It's right there. It says in the 27, in the image of God created he them, he him, male and female created he them. I'm not going to go into that. You all know that. It's all over the news and everything, isn't it? But it says God blessed them, isn't it? And some 127, and we just read God bless them. And 2:7 says how God created woman, you know. He didn't create it from the head for her to be, you know, beating the man on the head. Or from the foot, like Indian culture, you know, it is a male-dominant culture. They suppress the woman and stamp her, you know. So God didn't make her from the foot either. He created from right here, you know. And they say the softest bones are the ribs. You know, you must have come across that, you know. God put the ribs, you know, and the heart is right behind that. Isn't it? So you think about that, you know. Our God is a very wise creator, okay. So he made this package, you know, and then he created man. He said, okay, go and enjoy that. We love packages, you know, opening gifts and everything. He created the Garden of Eden, and he put him there, you know. And, you know, some people think that he put him there to till it. No, he says to dress it and to keep it. All he had to do was take care of all the fruit and everything, you know, and the garden was a nice place. All he did was told him to take care of that. He was getting fruit from that. He didn't have to put manure for that or anything. He was just getting fruit. All he has to do is eat it, you know. And you know what else he put in that Garden of Eden? The most important tree, the tree of life. And he did not tell, he didn't tell him not to eat of that, remember. He told him not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember that, okay? He never told him not to eat from the tree of life. Because if he was eating on that, no, he would be living forever, I think. We don't know what would have happened, okay? But that is the gift God has given to all mankind, even though they deny his existence. How good God is. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we all know what happened with that. And we know man sinned. I'm going to be trying to be short, okay? Man crossed that line. And man disobeyed God's command. He violated his word. How strict or how strict was his word? I talk about engineers, you know, if anybody's here. How many of us know what is 90 degrees on a protractor, okay? 90 degrees, our God is a perfect God. That's what we just read, you know? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the God of all creation, all perfection. 90 degrees means 90 degrees, not 91 degrees, okay? Or not 89 degrees. For you and me, we might think, oh, well, you know, I think we've been reminded about compassion, you know, in the Sunday school, you know. Oh, God is good, you know, God is great. He's gracious, you know, he is. We're going to get to that, okay? But he's a perfect God. If he says 90 degrees, it has to be 90 degrees. Build this building on 91 degrees and let me see that. When the storm comes, it will show. If you build it on 90 degrees or 91 degrees. And if you start off on 91 degrees, you know what happens? At the initial stage, it's not going to show much difference. You know, it won't be so bad. Because 90 and 91 is almost 90. 91. But as you keep going, you know, it starts moving further and further away. It goes so far away, it's become so hard for you to come back to this 90 degree. And that's what's happening to the world. That's what's happening to the world. Our God is a God of perfection. Be ye holy, for I am holy. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he opened his mouth and he began teaching them, you know. And as he was teaching the Sermon on the Mount, 5th chapter and 6th chapter, when you come to the 6th chapter, he taught them how to pray. And he told them, this is in this manner, not the same thing, in this manner, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. You know, our God is not a God like you saw in the Hindu God, one goddess, you know, she's got 10 hands, you know. And one hand she's got a sword, and in another hand she's got a chopped off head. And then she's got this big tongue sticking out, and all her necklace is made of skulls. Have you noticed that? That's the kind of goddess they believe in. You want your God to be like that? Our God is not like that, you know. Our God is a loving God. But our God created man. Remember this, folks. Luke's gospel. Let me take you there. God, when he created man, he just didn't create him in the sense of, you know, I'm going to be God. All of you have to be falling at my feet and worshiping me. No, he didn't create us like that. Luke's gospel. I've been showing this to everywhere I'm preaching these days because people are misunderstanding God. Understanding and misunderstanding. It's not too far away, you know? And God is not the author of misunderstanding. It's the devil, you know, who makes us to misunderstand. Third chapter of Luke's gospel, 23rd verse, it says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, and being as was supposed the son of Joseph, and, you know, it keeps going on, his genealogy. And I'm going to go to the last verse of that. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Adam was the son of God. So God created Adam with a father and son relationship. Are you all here? The game ain't started yet, all right? So God created man with a father and son relationship. That's why when Jesus came to the earth, you know, and in John's gospel, first chapter, it says, let me read that. John 1, 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. God is in the business of restoration, reconciliation. He wants man to be reconciled back to God. That's why when man sinned, God was not busy doing other things. Genesis 3rd chapter, 15th verse. In 3rd chapter, he starts talking to Adam. Where are you? Then he talks to Eve. Then he talks to the devil. What does he say? 15th verse, 3rd chapter. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Who is this thee? It's a serpent or the devil. And between thy seed and her seed. Who is thy seed? Jesus says that. And John the Baptist said that. Ye generation of vipers. We are the generation of vipers, you know. Mankind has become generation of vipers. Viper is a poisonous snake. And all we have inside is poison. Who can take out the poison? The antidote is Jesus Christ. That's why he says here, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is a promise that Mary is going to give birth to Jesus Christ, and there will be a fight on the cross. And the devil tried his best to keep Christ from going to the cross. You know, Jesus did not answer to anything what Pilate was asking when they were putting all false allegations and, raising witnesses, you know. The only one question he answered was, Pilate asked him, hey, they're saying that you are the king. You're saying you're the king of the Jews. Are you the king of the Jews? You said it, boy. You said it. You're going to remember this because when I'm going to come, every eye shall see him, even those that pierced him. Oh, sorry, I just pierced this. Is it working? I'm good. Okay. Even those that pierced him. That means the man who washed his hands, he thought he could get away. Pilate, you know? He answered him, yes, I am the king. And Jesus, he is the king. He's not just a king. He's the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. And now he's giving us that time. Okay, I'm going to just try to speed up. Okay, I've got the other side too. And in the Old Testament, you know, he's given us the law. Man wants to prove, you know, the other faiths, you know, the Islamic faith or the Buddhist faith or the Hindu, they think that they can work their way to heaven. If they can work their way to heaven, there's no need for God to become flesh. There's no need for Jesus. And there are some so-called Christian sects also who believe that, you know, we have to do good to get to heaven. And or we have to maintain our salvation. Otherwise, we might lose it. No, God doesn't give gifts that you can lose. Because he's a good God. And his mercy endureth forever. Exodus 20th chapter. Please do go with me. Because we are here for the word of God, aren't we? When God gave the law, when he gave the Ten Commandments, you know, well, by the way, they're not only Ten Commandments, okay? There are commandments even in the New Testament, okay? What does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's a command. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a church. That's a command. Hebrews 10:25. But let's read this, okay? 20th chapter 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. His package is not just the creation. That's the general revelation. You can know that there is a God. But how do I make him my father? How do I get into a relationship with him? You have to learn to love him. But in the Old Testament, we see that he shows mercy. He's a God of mercy. And I'm going to take us to 34th chapter also here. Exodus 34. I'm not big on, you know, letting people get away by using their cell phone Bibles, okay? You can keep it in your phone when you're in office or, you know, going in the metro or somewhere. But do you bring your bound Bible book so that you can have some photographic memory? I do. You know, I'm still the old school guy. 34 chapters from 5 to 8, actually, we can read. But let me just read 6 verse. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth. What a God this is. What a package. He's a God who loves to give gifts, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Now, do you know why the problem is in the world? Where it's coming from? You can see it right here. People don't want to love God. They hate God, you know? And then Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. That's why we are here for. Aren't we here to worship God? Worship the Lord? That's why. So his mercy endures forever because he wants to restore man whom he has created back to himself. There's no other business for God than to restore you and me back to himself. We've got this little light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, you know. That little song children sing. I just heard Brother Mike passed away. But he's in a better place. Do you have that hope this morning? If you don't, then you wait till I finish with the second package, okay? The first package we see in the Old Testament, okay? But here's the, but since man is a rebellious sinner, 34:9, look at that. Exodus 34, if you're right there, you know, let's just read that. 34, 9th verse. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people. Isn't that what mankind is? God is telling, you know, to get saved, come to his house and worship him and, you know, have fellowship with him. Is it good or bad for him to be expecting that? But I don't have time to go to church this Sunday. Because we are living in luxury these days, aren't we? We'll say, well, your brother was reminding. You know, I had the whole session there in Sunday school this morning, okay? He was reminding, well, you know, I think I can come the second Wednesday or the third. You're giving God your leftovers. You're taking the cream. If I come to your house, would you, like, you know, drink half the pop and then give me the rest? I don't think you would. Would you? But what are we doing to God who has given us this package in the Old Testament? You're experiencing everything. Dr. Pepper can't be made without water, without corn syrup. It can't be made. By the way, I'm a Dr. Pepper guy. It can't be made. Everybody has to use the elements God has created. So that package, you know, don't forget that. But man doesn't, you know, bother about that. He doesn't have that much faith to think about all those things. That's why it says he's a stiff-necked people. Isaiah 59:1, God is not deaf that he can hear us. God's hand is not shortened that he cannot say. It is our sin that is coming between us and God. That's why man cannot see God. That's why they make all these idols, you know. They go and worship a tree. I tell people, how can you worship a tree, man? God made the tree. God didn't put this on the tree, did he? He didn't create this table on the tree. No, he created the tree. So, and he's given us some brains, and we cut the tree and dry it, and then make this out of it. But you don't worship that thing. But here we see that God, who wants to give us all perfect gifts. I'm going to try to speed up, okay? Let's get into the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament, you know, people thought, oh, our God is a bad God, you know. He's not good at all. And we come to the New Testament. What is the New Testament? New Testament is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's Jesus Christ. That is the New Testament. The Old Testament, you know, which is the covenant God has made, it is man who let his hand go. That's why it's God who's coming down. Remember the promise, Genesis 3:15. That promise has never been forgotten. That's what we see in the New Testament here. In Matthew's Gospel 1:21 and 23, it says, a virgin shall be with child. Isn't it? Let's read there. Okay? I'm speeding up, okay? 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. I'm sorry to say this, but when I was growing up, you know, when I was a kid here, going to school here, the gospel was spoken very freely in the society. Today,
You have to literally peel a person to find out if that person is truly saved. I'm talking about in the general public, you know. When you're going around meeting people, you don't know if that person is a Christian because they're too scared to expose the hope that is in them. So if it's like that, I don't think they're really saved. If you're truly saved, no, Christ is on top of you. Because if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, how many things became new? All. Oh, remember that, folks. It's not easy to be a Christian in this world. And once in a while, I come across an old couple sitting there with a younger person on either side. And I went to Dollar General to pick up something the other day. And they're trying to give me some tracks, you know. And then I saw it says JW. And I said, you know what? Who is Jehovah? Jehovah is Jesus Christ. Oh, no, sir, you got it wrong. I said, no, you got it wrong. This word Jesus, you know from where it comes? In the Greek language, I'm not trying to show off here, okay? I'm just trying to give you a little information about that. There is no J in the Greek language, nor in the Hebrew language, okay? So in the Greek, if you go and read the word Jesus, it says Jesus. The first part is He, 68th Psalm. Let me just go there just for information's sake, okay? 68th Psalm. Psalm 68:4. You can also witness to these Jehovah's Witnesses because we're not having the audacity or, you know, the courage to go out there and preach Jesus Christ these days. Very sad days we're living in. Fourth verse, sing unto God, sing praises to His name, extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah. That's the only place in the Bible that word is written. It's a short form of the word Jehovah. But if you go in the Hebrew, it says Heel, you know, or Yah. It just says Yah. That word, if you bring it here in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call His name Jesus. Put that Heel in front, and then the word Sus. In the Greek, the verb sus means to save. So who saves now? Jehovah saves. Who is Jesus Christ? Isn't it? So you can go out there and get those guys, all right? If you see a JW there, sit down right there. Okay? Open your Bible and show them who is Jesus. Jehovah, as they correlate, is not the Father God. Jehovah is Jesus Christ. So let's see this. And shall call His name Jesus. This is the New Testament package, folks. And we'll finish with that, okay? Why Jesus had to come to this world? It says, for He shall save His people. That means the ones whom He has created. He shall save His people from their sins. You can take a Greek TR Bible and look at those words. Sus means to save. That word is right there, you know? For He shall save His people from their sin. Why? Because man is going from one sin to the other. The sin Adam committed was not really a grave sin. How many of us have eaten how many forbidden fruits till today? He's eaten only one. That's not so bad. But God, like I said, He's 90 degrees God. He's not a 91 degree God. When He says 90 degrees, you stay on 90 degrees. You don't go to 91 degrees and go and pluck that fruit and eat that. He told him, don't go there. So that little sin, you know, sin begets sin, according to the Bible. And your preacher will teach you about that, and your teacher will teach you about that. I'm not going to go into that. Okay? 2 times 2 is 4. How much is 4 times 4? Not 8. It's 16, isn't it? I'm okay till there, my mathematics, okay? I've done my engineering a little bit, but I'm not a big math student. How much is 16 times 16? You're slowing down. Everybody's taking out their calculator. 132, okay. How much is 132 times 132? Forget it. That's how sin begets sin. Sin multiplies, okay? That's how the world came to this state.
kids taking out guns and shooting. Last night, you know, one kid opened fire in a baseball or in a school, you know. And then they all took cover and only one lady got hurt. What's happening? Sin is begetting sin. It will be there for the third and to the fourth generation. It's your duty as a grandfather to bring your grandchild to church. If you, being a grandfather, take your grandson to fishing on a Sunday morning, well, guess what he's going to do to his grandchild? That's how sin has come to such a point, deteriorating the world. I don't think there's anything else further, you know, to add to the sin that's in the world today. Incest, you know, child pornography, everything is out there, you know. I think the only thing that needs to be done is for the Lord to return. And I believe he's going to do that. So the New Testament gift is Jesus Christ. Why? Because for all have sinned and come short of it. You cannot go to God with all your gods, 330 million gods. Indians believe. They've lost their mind. Isn't it? All they need is one God. All they need is the God of the Bible. And that God became flesh. And that's Jesus Christ, okay? His name is Jesus. And then 23rd verse, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Thy seed, remember? And her seed. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Immanuel. Im means with us. Anu is us. Oh, sorry, with. And then El means God. If you see on an Israeli airline, El, Al. El means God. Al also means God. El means infinitely powerful God. Al means absolutely faithful God. In the Old Testament, you see his power when he parted the Red Sea. But when in the New Testament, you'll see even more power when he split the skies wide open and came down to this earth and was born of a virgin. Not only that, was he born, but he also died for our sins. I'm going to speed up here. Not only did he die for our sins, but he proclaimed victory over the grave. My father passed away just a month, a little over a month ago, not even 2 months. Brother Mike passed away. Where did they pass away? Where did they go? Do you know where they went? If you have Jesus Christ in your life today, you will know where they went. And we will live with that hope of seeing our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, along with all our loved ones. I'm waiting to see my mom and my dad. But I want to see my Lord Jesus Christ first. Because if it wasn't for him, I won't be able to see them. So do you have that hope this morning? Okay? I'm going to hand it over to Brother Milbury. But do you possess his second gift? Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. They say, but is a bit of poison, but not every time. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you have Jesus Christ this morning? So do you possess this second gift? Everybody's got this first gift, you know, the creation. But this second gift, you have to receive it. He's not going to force it down your throat. Our God is not a dictator, okay? He wants to be received willfully. But there will come a time that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. That is not the time of salvation, folks. This is the time of salvation. This is the time when God is so gracious, he's merciful. All his package, remember that. He's gracious, he's merciful. So do you possess the second gift, which is the gift of salvation? Forgiveness of sin, heaven, and eternal life. The goodness of God. God is good. Romans 2nd chapter, you know, it delineates what is God's goodness, okay? You can go home and read this if you want to. Fourth verse, I'll read this. Oh, despisest thou the riches of his goodness? You know, that guy, Bill Maher, you know, every time I see him popping up in news or somewhere, I feel like, you know, if I could punch the TV and kill him, I don't mind. But, you know, I have to hold my fist back and say, I don't have the right to kill him. Because my God, who created me and saved me, and he created him, and also wants to save him. So it says here, fourth verse, despises thou the riches of his goodness? How good is God for him to be proclaiming his word even today, even people don't want to hear it. He's still proclaiming it through Good Shepherd Baptist Church. All the way till India. You know, it says, unto the ends of the earth. Preach the word. You can't come, all of you. I'm asking Brother Fox to come. And I'm going to ask Brother Milbury also to come. He can come on his motorcycle. But God is good, folks. It says, the riches of his goodness. Look at this, riches of his goodness. For us, riches always thinks about the dollar sign, isn't it? No, folks. The dollar, even if you have it all in the bank, you will still have to leave it and be buried to somebody else. That's what Solomon, with all his wisdom, writes that, you know? All your money you leave in the bank and you'll still die and you'll be buried if you don't have Jesus Christ. Only the second death is awaiting you. And forbearance, look at this, and long-suffering, the package. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Okay, I'm closing, folks. Salvation, you know, people are preaching easy believism salvation today. Oh, well, you believe Jesus, everything will be fine and dandy. Not necessarily. What if he's not fine and dandy? You going to leave him? Why? People are leaving Christ. You know why? Because they have not repented. One verse I'll read. Excuse me, okay? Mark's Gospel, first chapter. This is how the gospel is to be believed, and this is how the gospel is to be preached. First chapter, 15th verse. Jesus says, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? If there is a heaven, you know? I want to go to heaven. Which fool would not want to go to heaven if there is heaven, okay? Okay, I want to go to heaven. Okay, you want me to believe? I believe Jesus. And this is the kind of easy believism that's going on today. If you have not repented of your sin, you don't need Jesus. Because he came to save you from sin. If you don't think that you're a sinner, if you think that you're such a nice person, okay, make your way to heaven then, on your own. But because you cannot, and I cannot, that's the only reason Jesus came down to this earth. Paul says that in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a worthy of all acceptation and a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's it. Of whom I am chief, he says. Can you say that? I think I am the chiefest of all sinners in the world. The things I have done, the things I have taught. Because sin starts from here. In the New Testament. He proved it that we cannot do it in the Old Testament. That's why he came and he fulfilled the law on the cross. For us. Because we cannot do it. And he has given us grace. So he wants us to be saved. Do you have salvation this morning? Do you have Jesus Christ? Do you have that second gift? The gift of salvation. Every perfect gift, every good gift is from above. Salvation, forgiveness of sins. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You don't know your own self, you know that? I don't know my heart as well as God knows my heart. Because I can do things, what I feel like doing at that time, which seems right to me. We were reminded that in the Sunday school again. I feel good, you know? Everybody's going, feel good. James Brown, you know? I feel good, you know? Well, I don't know if James Brown is saved. But if he was saved, praise God. Because his feelings won't take him to heaven. It's the concrete word of God that is written here and preserved for us. You know, you can go to it anytime. It doesn't change. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. He does not change with the way the world is changing. Okay? So do you have salvation this morning? Do you have that gift, precious gift of salvation, of eternal life, forgiveness of sin, and heaven? If you don't, you can have it this morning. Brother Milbury, would you please come and take up the invitation? Because I'm not good at giving invitations. here in America. Because I'm in India, I can do it all. But here I can't. So I want to give it over. Please let us bow our heads and, you know, spend our time in prayer and, you know, in, you know, getting done, do business with God and, you know, thinking about these things, about this precious gift of salvation. It is still available. Thank you so much. God bless you.